I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. Glad to have you along this morning, and glad to have in the studio with me Robert Glinski. His new novel, his first, is called The Friendship of Criminals and looks at the Polish Mafia in Philadelphia, a novel that I find many, many resonances of Mario Puzo in. Robert Glinski, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me. Huge fan of the show and love the station, so this is a terrific honor for me.
Well, fantastic. I wanted to ask, as I was reading up on you, Robert, I keep reading your bio that says you used to be a criminal defense attorney, but now you write strategy papers for hedge funds and asset management firms. That seems like quite a career transition. How did you jump from being an attorney to writing these papers?
Well, that description, the second one, is probably a little beefed up by the publisher.
Oh. Okay.
To put on the jacket cover. I do some ghostwriting for financial firms.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the transition.
And this book, I know that you had floating around in your head for a little while because it was, what, back in 1989 that you moved to Philadelphia, and not long after you moved there, there was some mob action that happened. And for a boy from the Midwest, it was quite fascinating.
Right.
Share that story.
I'm a Midwest kid. I was born and raised in Green Bay, Wisconsin, ended up out in Philadelphia for graduate school, for law school, and it was 1993. I moved out there with a duffel bag and a milk crate. My dad dropped me off at the corner of 15th and Spruce, moved into my apartment, and literally within a couple days, South Philadelphia exploded into a classic East Coast mob war like you read about or see in the movies, and I immediately became fascinated with that. It kind of started right then and there. And fortunately, I was able to kind of follow up on that interest through law school and a career as a criminal defense lawyer.
Well, here in the Midwest, we most often hear about mob activity when a mob leader gets busted and is going to trial or something. I know we see a lot of it in New York. People don't think about Philadelphia and that it being an old and established city has some of those same issues.
Yeah, let me assure you, it's alive and well. Certainly in 93, it was popping. It's still there today. I had a really interesting experience, too. My first summer in law school, that was 94, I got an internship at the district attorney's office. And it was an amazing experience for a lot of reasons. But one of the neat things about it, I had just gotten into a writer known Elmore Leonard, who's known for his realistic dialogue. Mm-hmm. And that summer I got access to wiretap transcripts. It was the first time I'd actually got to read criminals talking to themselves. And they were setting up their codes. They were talking about their business, talking about what they thought about the cops and the DAs and that whole routine. And so that was kind of my next step into imagining criminal lives, how they spoke, how they thought. So it was a good experience that summer.
Well, you know, most of the time when you hear about the mob or the mafia, you're thinking Italian. But in Philadelphia, there's the Polish mafia. Talk about that, because that's something I really wasn't that familiar with.
So obviously, my last name is Polish. I started out traditionally at a kind of a white collar firm doing insurance and banking litigation. That did not do it for me. And so I was fortunate enough to run into some criminal defense guys who rented space in our office. And they said, hey, there's a guy in town here. He's a great lawyer, big character. He's looking for a young guy to bring on. And he's looking for a guy with your background, because he does a lot of work in a part of town known as Port Richmond, which is where it's a Polish neighborhood in Philadelphia, that in Bridesburg. And your last name is, would come in handy. And so I went to work for this gentleman, and in that office, you rented space to probably six or seven of the biggest criminal defense attorneys in the city. I got to meet all the other guys who did it. They represented pretty much one way or the other all the big organized groups in town. And so I got to hear the stories at night over martinis or before court, and I just soaked it up and I loved it. And so, we did work more in that one particular neighborhood, but I got to hear about all of them.
Robert Glinski, his first novel, The Friendship of Criminals, is available in bookstores now, more available at WVXU.org to learn about the book. And the Friendship of Criminals, the title, what did you choose this, or was it the publisher that chose it, and why did you decide on The Friendship of Criminals?
You know, oftentimes, this is the fourth book I wrote, the first one that got published. You sometimes struggle with the title. This one just hit me midway through. As soon as I thought about it, I kind of fell in love with it. And it goes back to, like I said, I had started out as an attorney doing really boring commercial litigation. Then I made that transition. Meeting with clients and their families really opened my eyes to criminals, accused criminals, you know, our defendants, our clients, in terms of seeing them more multidimensionally. I kind of grew up, like I said, kid in the Midwest, huge fan of the Lone Ranger, white hat, black hat, good guys and bad guys. And moving out to Philadelphia, I saw a totally different side of, you know, often the first person you meet is a family member coming to you saying, hey, my dad, my brother, my daughter was arrested and we need an attorney. It's a much more of an interesting experience, a fully blown experience. And so I just wanted to kind of bring that dimension to a crime fiction novel where it just wasn't. Elmore Leonard's fantastic at this. John McDonald does it as well. A lot of great writers do it. But I just wanted to make it multi-layered in terms of presenting a full-blown portrayal of these people. And frankly, it's true to life because a lot of the people in the book, you know, I've met people similar to them. And, you know, they're not always doing crime 100% of the time. You know, they still have to pick up, you know, groceries and do laundry and hit birthday parties and do all that kind of stuff. So that's just my experience and background.
Well, when it comes to the friendship of criminals, the story as it goes along, it really shows the respect and lack of respect that criminals have for each other. But to them, it's just a job. And, you know, it's just a way of life. And the way of life, as you indicate with a number of the characters in the book, that they've experienced since they were kids. But there have been many things that have changed when it came to mob business. You know, what changes have you seen? I mean, I mentioned Mario Puzo, and, you know, we know what the Godfather and the Corleones and the Godfather, the businesses that they were involved in. But I was struck in The Friendship of Criminals how the mob business has changed in this modern day and age.
You know, it surprised me. We would often hear, I'd hear some of these guys talk in court. You would actually hear a lot of playback from lines from The Godfather, lines from The Sopranos. These guys are watching it, and they would kick those lines right back
really?
At you, and they absorb that popular culture, and they really kind of, you know, they like that glamorization of their lifestyle. So you would see these very traditional, they would show up in the jogging suits and the whole thing in court, shockingly true to what you would see in the movies. At the same time, it's always evolving. They're always, you know, there's always groups in Philly. There was one case with the Russians I remember quite distinctly. They're always looking for weak spots in the system where if they can grab an advantage, they will do it. This happened to be with fuel and grabbing literally like 10% of a penny off of a fuel transaction, which amounted to millions of dollars. So there's always an evolution going on. Some of it is you know, steeped in tradition. Some of it's just say, hey, this is easy money and we're going to go for it.
Anton Bielikovsky is, I guess you could say, the main character in The Friendship of Criminals. And you, after sharing the stories about the criminal attorneys that you've crossed paths with, I imagine that some of the criminal attorneys that you bring to life in the book, The Friendship of Criminals, were based on those real-life acquaintances. What about Anton? Was there an inspiration, a mob figure there in Philadelphia that, or a couple that were the inspiration for Anton?
Anton, first, it's my grandfather's name.
okay.
So second, though, we did have clients like Anton, which are just hard men. And they don't flinch like I do or the people that we associate. The notion of violence to them does not like them. They don't hesitate at all with mm-hmm. that. Prison, it's not an issue. They don't want to go. But it's the cost of the lifestyle that they live. I was fascinated by their complete lack of intimidation in scenarios that you and I would just, our eyes would be open thinking, oh, this is a pretty bad deal. And they don't flinch at all at those. And I saw that several times with these guys. And I was just completely, really amazed at their ability to look at a situation which 99% of us would turn and run. And they walk right into the headwind.
Well, I have to say there's a couple of episodes in the Friendship of Criminals where I had my knees quaking and hard to imagine as it went along. What has a reaction been? I mentioned Mario Puzo there, and I realized as I was reading your book, Rob, that I really hadn't seen that many, you know, crime fiction mob-oriented and books in a while. I just couldn't really call up a recent one. I read a lot of crime fiction, but That was one part of crime fiction that seems to have fallen off. What's your take on it?
I'm a classic crime fiction fan. I go back, most of the books I read from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I'm a big fan of Mario Puzo. I'm a huge fan of Nick Pileggi, which if you don't know him, his books were made into movies by Scorsese, Goodfellas, and that whole lineup. I'm fascinated by it. I just think that they're the most interesting part of American pop culture. I personally think that The Godfather is probably the most influential piece of pop culture we've had in the last 50 or 60 years. I just think that the influence of that, you see it in almost every mainstream television show or movie that comes out. There is a strain that you can trace back if you pull it back to The Godfather. So I can tell you that the book that I wrote before this, it was based in Ohio. It was based in Cincinnati. It's crime fiction. The reaction I got from New York publishers was, hey, nobody wants to read about crime in Ohio. So I said, all right, let's crank this up. Let's go. We're going to go back to Philadelphia. We're going to go back to the traditional setting for this. And the reception actually has been great because we were fortunate enough. We optioned it very quickly. We actually optioned this book out in Hollywood before we sold the publishing rights. The good news is the genre is alive and well.
Robert Glinsky, his first novel is The Friendship of Criminals, a novel about the Polish mafia in Philadelphia, a crime fiction novel. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And reaction among family and friends. You said you've written previous books. This is being told as your first novel. What do you have to share with authors who are trying to get their books published, to share their stories? And any advice for those struggling writers out there?
It's a long and lonely journey. I can literally speak to, I'm not sure anybody in publishing with a book that has been rejected more than me. And I don't say that lightly. I've been rejected thousands of times. Every editor in New York has kicked my stuff to the curb at least three times. And the lesson is you just have to keep trying and getting better. One, you have to self-edit your own work. You have to really strive to become a better writer. And two, if you really want to get a book published, you just have to put in the hours and the hours. Mine come at night between 9 and 1 o'clock. I was writing every night. I shared my initial writing with friends and family. It frankly wasn't very good, and I knew it. And I just said, listen, in order to get better, you have to write more, you have to read more, and really challenge. I challenged myself to get to be a better writer. And it took me 12 years. And wow. It's been an amazing journey, but I can't tell you how fantastic it is to walk into a bookstore and see your book on the shelf. And it just happened. I was back in Philly doing a book signing last week, and I was able to go back to the bookstore where when I had no money, and I would go into that bookstore on weekends, and I would sit and I would pull books off the shelf, and I would read them. To walk back into the bookstore with my own book on the shelf was amazing.
How did you get a byline on the cover from Lee Childs on your first novel? And here's Lee Childs saying, first-rate urban crime, maybe a future classic. How did you share this with Lee?
Right. That's just a great bit of luck. It's just, fortunately, my editor had a connection. They could reach out to Lee Childs' people and get the book in his lap. Getting these blurbs on the cover, they are important. People look at them. I love the blurbs that I have on my cover of Chris Pavone and just some great, great writers. And some of them, literally, I sent them an email begging. I'm a writer. I love your stuff. I would love you to blurb my book. Can I send you a copy? And it's a great community of writers out there that support each other, and I'm the benefactor of that.
I was talking to writer Austin Kleon, who went to Miami U, an Ohio guy or whatever, the fellow who wrote Steal Like an Artist, among other books. And he was talking, he goes, what's funny about my first book was I met all the people I should have met before, after I wrote that book. Similar experience for you?
Very similar experience. Yeah, this is such a journey. You write these books and you sit. I was joking with somebody the other day. You spend, in my case, years and years and years writing a book. But almost hold up. You know, there's people in this town, they'll see me at a Starbucks for years wondering probably who I am. Now you're hearing them on the radio, right? But I'm the guy in the corner of Starbucks writing and writing and writing. And you're quiet. It's very contemplative. It's the most isolated thing you can do is write a book. And then when it comes out, you're back in front of the room in front of 50 people talking about it. It's kind of like that character in Lord of the Rings, Sméagol, right? Holding that ring.
Right.
You know? But that's the position you find yourself in when it comes out. It's great, though. I love it.
And family, what's family thought now that you've raised your head up from the screen after all these years?
It's been a wild journey. My wife has been there from the beginning. We started out, I wanted to write that first book. It was more just to prove that I could do it. She wanted to run a marathon. I said, hey, I think I can write a book. During the course of this, I've had two kids. They've been amazing. They just know that at night I'm writing. They don't know what it was. You know, hey, where's Dad? He's at the coffee shop writing. It's been amazing, though. They've been wonderfully supportive and just fantastic.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's a great read. I appreciate you being here this morning, too.
Big fan. Like I said, this is part of, you know, the dream coming true is sitting here and talking to you on this station. It's awesome.
Excellent. Robert Glinsky, his novel is The Friendship of Criminals. You can learn more at WVXU.org. The Book Club at 91.7. You've been listening to The Book Club at 91.7. Bruce Ellis is technical director, Kevin Reynolds producer. Music director and segment engineer is Rick Andres. Web guru Jim Nolan. Announcer is Robin Carey Allgaier. And I'm Mark Purcell. Next Saturday is Independent Bookstore Day. A conversation with a local bookseller about the celebration. Plus, Listen to Your Mother, a collection of essays about moms, edited by Ann Immig. Those stories and more on the Book Club at 91.7 next Saturday morning. Weekend Edition is coming up next on WVXU. Have a great Saturday.